Well, we have huge news today. Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. And remember, we are building the infrastructure of human freedom. The biggest news in the world today, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that an undercover video has exposed a man who claims to be a former CIA, FBI operative. I think he worked for both agencies. We'll see. Listen to him in his own words. Admitting that this has been a concerted deep state conspiracy to destroy Alex Jones and to take all his money and drag him through the courts, which is what they have done, and everything has been rigged. They threw out all the normal rules of evidence. They threw out all the rules of jury trials. The judges were rigged. The process was rigged. Everything was rigged. Even Alex Jones' attorneys are just like baffled at how insane this whole thing is. They had to twist and pervert the entire court system in order to convict Alex Jones over Sandy Hook. Turns out the entire thing has been a deep state operation from day one. And Alex Jones now says, he just announced this, he is going to sue the CIA and the FBI. And I don't know what that lawsuit's going to look like. I would imagine it's going to take a lot of effort just to even put that together. How do you even quantify the damage? But you're going to hear from this person. In fact, let's just go to that video right now. This is from a group called Sound Investigations that acquired this video. Now, I have not heard of this group before now. Their website is reportedly soundinvestigations.com. Their handle on Twitter is @soundinvestig. It ends with the G. There's no Asians on the end of it. And here's what they say. Breaking. CIA officer, former FBI boasts, can put anyone in jail. Set them up. We call it a nudge. FBI, quote, did what we wanted with Alex Jones. We took his money away, chopped his legs off. He estimates that 20 undercover FBI agents were present at January 6th. He works with some of them now at the CIA, and that the FBI uses embellished news, fake social media to really get people mad, and much more. Now, this is a bit of a lengthy video here, but this is really critical to see. This is, now you're going to see a man reportedly named Gavin O'Blenis. That's an unusual name, very unique. A contracting officer with the CIA, according to this report from Sound Investigations. Listen to what he has to say, and then we'll analyze it. So here we go.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How? Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little, just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow.
Nothing like putting on a
fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away, chopped his legs off.
Gavin O'Blenis is a contracting officer at the CIA. O'Blenis worked for the FBI in 2021 and 2022 in the San Diego office, moved on to Homeland Security where he conducted asylum interviews at the southern border, and now works for the CIA managing multi-million dollar contracts across government agencies and private sector vendors.
I work for, I'm not supposed to tell people kind of job.
If I say intelligence, what do you think?
CIA?
Yep.
You work for the CIA?
I do.
That's incredible.
I'm a contracting officer.
That's amazing.
So I deal a lot with, like, different agencies. We're contracting with, like, Director of National Intelligence to do stuff. We do Navy, Army, any of them, really. I just, FBI. I used to work for the FBI, so
really?
They threw the FBI at me. They're like, here, you used to work there.
Oh, I'm permanent.
So, yeah.
Good. Well, why do they call it contracting?
Because I do the contracting. I do all the legal contracts. I fly out to vendors and evaluate them. I love the agency.
Good for you.
I like the Bureau, too. The Bureau was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of cool stuff with the Bureau. I was the guy in the back of the truck in the van.
O'Blenis spoke to an undercover Sound Investigations reporter about his work experience involving near entrapment and his employer's involvement with political commentator Alex Jones's legal battles.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little... Just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you... have someone fake profile say something that triggers that we know is going to trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, that sometimes the Bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? You like a, I don't know, like a, I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like.
Oh, I'm sure he's a right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Hardcore. Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA
thing? Sure was.
That was an agency thing?
Actually, it was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to be this time, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we... go find.
And did you find anything?
I can't determine if we did. But, so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening.
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And the, what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI?
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do, but civilly, we can go at him that way. Chop his legs off.
And they did.
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy.
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex Jones now? Is he still out there?
Yeah.
He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
Are you still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. We shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up permanently.
Unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison. Being ignorant is not a crime, though it should.
It is. I mean, what? You could bring a nudge.
He did incite a riot, like Cheeto. He didn't encourage people to go shoot people. He didn't. So he didn't do anything.
Additionally, O'Blenis states that he knows and works with FBI agents who were undercover in the January 6th Capitol riot, estimating about 20 field agents were there undercover. While O'Blenis notes that they were not involved in violence, this appears to be the first admission of undercover FBI agents in attendance.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C., just in case it gets out of hand like that.
But there wasn't enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking maybe half of 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crap.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through to there and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So that,
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Do people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
No, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. The agency knew.
All right, I know that was a long clip, but just astonishing. I hope you actually got a chance to watch that and not just hear it. But how could you not notice the incredible arrogance, the nauseating arrogance of this guy just casually smirking about how he destroys a life? It's like, oh, we just took Alex Jones and we chopped off his legs. And he just smirks and he smiles. Yeah, we just did it. We just want to shut him up. Yeah, we just took all his money. Yeah, he's done. I mean, this is the way that these feds think. Not all of them, by the way. There are still some white hats inside the CIA, inside the FBI. And, you know, I've interviewed a lot of former, you know, CIA agents like Larry Johnson. You know, he's a good guy, and many other examples of that. And, you know, I've got sources that are former FBI, and those are the white hats. But this guy is clearly an authoritarian, smug tyrant, just loves destroying people's lives and just shrugs it off while he's, you know, eating a piece of cabbage or whatever he's chewing on there, lettuce, and just like, yeah, we just chopped him off, chopped his legs off, just destroyed him, just took all his money. And, you know, we didn't sue him, but we educated the Sandy Hook families to do the lawsuit. So, of course, the FBI is behind this. The CIA is behind this. So that's why Alex Jones is saying that he's going to sue the CIA and the FBI. And this should be an historic lawsuit. And you're going to hear Alex talk about that here in just a second. But I tweeted out what I think should be in Alex's settlement offer to the federal government. So Alex should get his legal team together and sue the government or show them the lawsuit, the complaint that they're going to file, and then offer the following settlement. Listen to this. Number one, a full refund of all federal taxes ever paid by Alex or his companies. All of it refunded. Number two, an official apology from the White House and all corporate media outlets for conspiring to defame and slander Alex with literally tens of thousands of accounts of fictional accusations. You know, they paid his ex-employees, by the way, to lie about him. I remember one article in the UK Daily Mail where one of his ex-employees got $50,000 to make up these crazy lies. I remember one of the lies was like that if you walk around the office of InfoWars, that people are wearing tennis shoes with Nazi symbols on them. It's like, what? Because I've been there. How many times? I mean, how many shows have I hosted? How many times I've been a guest in the studio? Never seen anything like that. Not once. It was all fiction. So there should be official apologies from the entire corporate media. Anybody who slandered Alex Jones should be forced to settle with him, at least with an apology and maybe financial payouts. Anyway, number three, Alex Jones should get permanent presidential immunity against any present or future civil or criminal cases that are targeting Alex Jones or his companies, because the entire justice system has been perverted to try to target Alex Jones. He needs to have blanket immunity as part of a settlement offer. Like, you just can't sue me anymore. Your days of suing are done. That should be part of it. Number four, immediate compensation for all of Alex's substantial multi-million dollar legal fees that he expended to defend himself against the bad faith lawsuits. Now, I don't know exactly how much Alex has spent on legal fees, but it's millions. It's no doubt over 10 million. I don't know if it's 20 million. I don't know. But I can imagine that he spends, and again, I don't have any inside information, just to be clear. I'm just guessing that he spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on legal fees. And that's part of the whole purpose of this, was to take his money, make him spend it on lawyers instead of spending it on expanding the InfoWars infrastructure. Because at this point, organically speaking, InfoWars would be bigger than Fox News. InfoWars would be one of the main media outlets in the world. It's still pretty big among, you know, red-pilled people, obviously, but it should be 100 times bigger. But Alex had to spend money on legal fees instead of, you know, buildings and studios and hiring more talent and things like that. And that's all by design. Point number five. This is my suggestion as part of the settlement. Alex should be given a nationally televised, a 3-hour Alex Jones special where he gets to host it and say whatever he wants, to be broadcast across all mainstream media outlets, in which Alex gets to tell his side of the story of how he was framed and slandered, attacked, and financially drained by a conspiracy of deep state operators. And then finally, point number six, there should be a criminal prosecution of all the deep state operators, the corrupt court judges, the false witnesses who conspired to destroy Alex Jones because they didn't want the American people to hear what Alex had to say. This should be a RICO prosecution, because this is criminal organized crime. This is racketeering by the FBI, the CIA, the judges, the false witnesses, everybody involved. They all agreed to lie to destroy Alex Jones. Classic racketeering case. You know, this is organized crime. And those people should face consequences through the legal system for their illegal actions. Now, I know if you're listening to this, you might think, well, okay, that's a great wish list. Probably never going to happen. Yeah, maybe it doesn't happen. Probably doesn't happen because the system is totally corrupt and rigged. But I put this out there because this is what should happen if real justice were being served in America. The entire establishment owes a massive apology to Alex Jones, and they owe him how many million? Well, I say $1 billion. They should pay him $1 billion in compensation. You can't even put a price tag on what they did to this man. The extreme, the pressure, the destruction, the targeting of his family, even, you know, driving him at times to what I would imagine would be extremely difficult circumstances, you know, maybe days of extreme anger or depression, or, you know, can you imagine having the entire system trying to take you down? And yet Alex persevered, and he deserves compensation, financial compensation that probably needs to be measured in billions of dollars. Now, I also want to play for you now Alex appearing on a show. I'm not sure what show this is. Benny Johnson, called In the Arena. I'm actually not familiar with that show. But here's a 3-minute video of Alex talking about his plans to sue the CIA and the FBI, which is exactly what he should be doing. And frankly, every good lawyer in America should be signing up to join Alex's legal team at this point. So I'm going to play this video for you in Alex's own words, just in the last 24 hours. Here's what he says about all of this.
But now that this has come out, this is a FBI agent, a CIA boss. He's a contract manager over large contract operations. That's a boss. That's like a mini section chief, saying all of this and admitting all of this like it's no big deal. He needs to be subpoenaed by Congress. I am planning to launch a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI. We have to bring all this out. And right as my bankruptcy comes to a close, and right as all this stuff's being finalized, it's really God working here that this came out at this time.
You just said you were planning on suing the federal government. What would a Alex Jones versus the U.S. government look like?
Well, I'm talking to different law firms right now that specialize in this. In fact, when I get off the feed with you, I'm going to get back on the phone with the lawyers. It's obviously a civil rights violation. It's a government racketeering operation using cutouts. And look, I mean, they come after my mother, my father, my wife. In these mediations, they've said, listen, just come out against the Second Amendment and we'll drop all this. I mean, they've done that repeatedly. They've even said, listen, we're a mafia and there's nothing you can do to stop us, to my face, in front of my lawyer, in front of Norm Pattis. And so they're very arrogant. I mean, these are the sellouts. These are the traitors. These are the people that really love being under the corrupt FBI's wings, under the CIA's wings. They get a thrill. They get to go out and persecute fellow Americans, lie about them, say all these horrible things, and then say, you said it, steal your identity, silence you so they can all pile in on you, make movies about themselves with judges and flashbulbs and, oh, we're so great. We went out and got the big Goliath. No, no, you guys are the Goliath. I'm the David. You misrepresented what I did to make me a monster.
And isn't it interesting, by the way, remember my podcast yesterday? What was it called? That after the passing of the solar eclipse, we're moving into the era of transparency. And then, boom, this comes out. Full transparency of what they did to Alex Jones. It's like I said, the energies are shifting. The tide is turning. The truth is coming out. And those who engage in evil and those who are part of this conspiracy to silence the truth, they are being exposed and they are going to be sued. They're going to be the subject of lawsuits. And by the way, our own lawsuit will soon be filed against certain big tech companies. By the way, actually, we have a couple different lawsuits that we're about to file. And there's going to be a ton of news about that when it happens. We've been working on these lawsuits for over a year. Major complaints, massive damages being claimed in these lawsuits against big tech companies through their deliberate censorship and anti-business practices or anti-fair trade practices. It's a kind of racketeering, which is, of course, what the FBI and the CIA engage in. So just as Alex has been damaged in so many ways, slandered, defamed, but also financially destroyed, my own operation has been censored and kept down by at least 99%. You know, if not for all the censorship and all the deplatforming, we would be 100 times bigger. We would be bigger than CNN ourselves, not to mention InfoWars, which would be even bigger than that. You know, InfoWars would be one of the largest media organizations on the planet, period, if it were organic, because InfoWars tells the truth, you know, tomorrow's news today. And we're in the same boat, but not as big. And yet we have been punished by 99%. And that's all by design. You know, of course, what they do is they censor you. It's just like even on X right now, you know, Elon Musk won't let you link to a Brighteon video. Why is that? Because the deep state told him to ban Brighteon. That's why. That's why that's happening. They don't believe that Elon is a great defender of free speech. You know, come on. He's not. You can't even link to band.video, which is the InfoWars video platform, and you can't link to Brighteon.com, which is why, by the way, everybody should be migrating over to Brighteon.io, which is the peer-to-peer decentralized platform. And also, by the way, InfoWars has an account on there now as well, and they post content there because it's uncensorable. So Twitter is actually going to go downhill if they don't support free speech. People are going to migrate to other platforms where the truth cannot be censored. That's just a side note to all of this. But my point is that what the deep state does, what they did to me, is they censor you, they defame you, and they deplatform you to where you get down to a much lower level of influence where they no longer worry about you. See? And that's the category that they have put me in is that, oh yeah, you know, Mike Adams, he would be huge if we didn't punish him and deplatform him and censor him. You know, he'd maybe be as big as Joe Rogan or something like that. But we destroy all his reach. We make sure that he doesn't get out there. We shadow ban him on X. You know, Elon does what we tell him to do as well. And that's how we keep the Health Ranger, Brighteon, Natural News. That's how we keep them down to where this podcast may get, you know, 25,000 views on the first day instead of, you know, 2 million or something like that. So that's how that works. They keep us down. The flip side of that is for you as a listener, you are actually getting information that most people don't have access to because, of course, we're banned everywhere. And so the fact that you're connected with this information is something I know you value it. It's pretty special from my point of view to connect with you as well. This is something special that we have, this connection here. And it's a connection that's not shared by a huge number of people because we've been you know, censored and blacklisted to keep us below a certain threshold where we don't have as much influence as we otherwise would. So that's how the whole system works. And remember how I was told, you know, years ago that, hey, look, they either censor you or they kill you. One or the other, you know, It's like, well, if they can keep you below a certain threshold, then they figure they don't have to kill you. But if you get super popular somehow and they can't control you, they just kill you. You know, you end up another Clinton body bag or whatever. I mean, you know how it works. So I'm just going to say this, that I absolutely support Alex's lawsuit against the FBI and the CIA. And I don't know what that lawsuit's going to look like. I guess Norm Pattis is his lead attorney on most cases. Norm will have some interesting ideas, no question about it. I interviewed Norm several years ago. Norm is an East Coast lawyer. I think he's based in Connecticut. I'm not 100% certain of that, but I know he's on the East Coast, close to DC. Norm will have some ideas, and maybe some other attorneys will have ideas as well. I will just say that I will absolutely support Alex's efforts to expose this. And given that this video has come out, there may actually be an opportunity for Alex to reach some kind of settlement with the federal government at some point here. A settlement. I don't know what that settlement's going to look like. I doubt they're going to offer to pay him any money, but they might offer to leave him alone. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. But have no illusions. We live under an authoritarian, tyrannical regime run by criminal cartels. That's what we're all living under right now. This is a criminal cartel. And anyone who rises in terms of influence is punished, assassinated, sued, drained of money, audited, investigated, slandered, whatever it takes. So, you know, hey, there you go. By the way, you know, we are routinely audited by the FDA. So we have surprise inspections. Hi, we're from the FDA. And we want to, you know, investigate your facility here. Because we're in Texas. And of course, after we identify and confirm that they are who they say they are, because we have, as you might expect, pretty elaborate security systems and video cameras and security activated doors and entryways and everything else. Then we let the FDA in, and then they run around the building and they look at everything and they shine their flashlights into the corners. And let me tell you, the FDA is thrilled with our operation. They've told us that, and they've even told us that they wish other companies would work the way we work in terms of the cleanliness of our rooms, our machines, our environments, and everything. They're just blown away. They can't find anything major wrong. I remember the last time that they came through with a surprise inspection, they did find one thing. And I don't know exactly how this was written up, but you know, if an FDA inspector comes through your facility, they got to find something. They got to write up something. They can't just say, it's all good, you know, because nobody's going to believe that. So they wrote up that underneath the box packing tape that was used to tape together a cardboard carton of our products, like underneath the tape, stuck to the bottom side of the tape, was a black speck. Of some black speck. That was the write-up. So they toured all the manufacturing machinery, the mixers, the fillers, you know, all the packaging, the clean rooms, the epoxy floors, the ventilation, the filtration systems, all that stuff, the liquid filling automation systems we have, the capsule counters, the bottle labelers, the bottle... The inductive glue systems that do the double seal of the bottle underneath the lid, and then the shrink wrap system, and all they investigated all that, and what they found was a black speck, one black speck under a piece of tape on a cardboard carton, and that is what they wrote up. And I'm like, okay, I can live with that. So by the way, as much as I'm a critic of the FDA overall, the FDA that operates in Texas, they have actually been fair to us. They have not maliciously tried to destroy our operation. And they've given us, basically thumbs up on everything that we do. But then again, we operate with very strict, you know, SOPs, operating procedures. And we are also GMP compliant in our activities, and we're working on GMP certification, which is a very big deal. It takes a long time to get that. We've already had, you know, several audits and inspections and all kinds of things that we do to be GMP compliant. So that certification is coming. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, but if the federal government wants to turn your life into a living hell, they do have ways to do that, as this person is saying about Alex Jones. They can cut you off at the knees. They can cost you, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in legal fees or regulatory compliance fees or whatever. There's all kinds of ways they can punish you if they want to. And this is what it's like to live under tyranny. Whereas, you know, a left-wing corporation that supports Joe Biden and has a rainbow LGBT flag flying out front, oh, they will never be targeted in that manner. No, because they support all the right causes. But if you're conservative, if you're pro-Second Amendment, if you believe in free speech, if you're critical about Biden, if you told the truth about the 2020 election being stolen by the Democrats, well, then you're going to be targeted. You're going to be censored, blacklisted, you're going to be sued, you're going to be dragged through the courts, you're going to be audited, whatever it takes. That's the reality of the society in which we live today. Now, I have a special report here about Elon Musk and what's going on with Brazil. So the short version is that Brazil ordered Elon Musk, well, Twitter, X, to censor some people, and Elon said, no, we're not going to censor those people. So Brazil is in the process right now, because of this corrupt left-wing judge, they're going to deplatform X from the entire telecommunications infrastructure of Brazil. And Elon is saying, yeah, go pound sand, you know? So listen to this special report here about all that. And I also talk about the decentralization solution, which is brightown.io. But check out that special report, and I'll continue on the other side. So a high-level judge in Brazil is demanding that Elon Musk censor or deplatform certain accounts that the corrupt Brazilian government doesn't want to be able to speak. Because, of course, the people of Brazil are largely opposed to the current corrupt government, which is a government that came to power by rigging the election, obviously. And then they try to criminalize Bolsonaro, just like the same way that Democrats and Biden got into power in the U.S. and then tried to criminalize Trump and everybody associated with Trump. So this judge tells Twitter, hey, you got to censor these people. And Elon Musk says, no, I'm not going to, because, he says, I stand for free speech. Now, that's technically not true, because Elon Musk absolutely censors accounts at the request of the U.S. government. And I know that because I've been a victim of that. And even to this day on Twitter, you can't post a link to brighteon.com. Twitter still bans that. And they're aware of it because we've already threatened their legal team. And we're going to sue Twitter, by the way. We're almost done with that complaint and we're going to be filing it soon. And Twitter's going to find out what happens when they F around. And so Elon Musk, he's acting when he says that he supports free speech. No, he doesn't. He only supports free speech outside the U.S., not inside the U.S. So don't keep claiming, Elon, that you support free speech. You don't. And your legal team's going to find out. But now this high-level judge in Brazil says that if Twitter won't block these accounts that we want them to block, we're going to block Twitter or X from all telecommunications traffic in the nation of Brazil. They're going to deplatform the platform, in other words, and make it so that nobody can access X. Now, think about how crazy and ultimately psychopathic this whole situation is, that one judge in Brazil can control who's allowed to speak, or that one person at the head of Twitter, Elon Musk, that he gets to decide. He can either say yay or nay, thumbs up or thumbs down, because the king decides whether you're allowed to speak. This is unacceptable. And there's a solution to it. And the solution is decentralized peer-to-peer systems that do not need domain names in order to function. And we have just launched a system that does that. And it's called brighteon.io. IO stands for input output. So brighteon.io, which is built on the Bastion platform, has no hosting servers. It looks and acts a lot like Twitter, but It doesn't have any central servers, and it doesn't even use any domain names when you use the app. So you can access Brightown.io a couple of ways. You can just access it through your browser tab. In that case, yes, it's using the domain name Brightown.io. But if you download the app, and you can get that at Brightown.io/applications, plural, you download the app, you install the app, then it doesn't use domain names anymore. It's all just IP traffic, peer-to-peer, decentralized. And no nation can block it. And that's why we're now using Brightown.io as our emergency backup communications infrastructure. So even if they take down Natural News or Brightown or the whole internet, they throw the internet kill switch, you'll still be able to get emergency announcements, texts, updates, videos, everything from us through Brightown.io and its app, which is, again, built on Bastion. Now, I believe that the future of free speech is going to be found in decentralized technology that the governments of the world cannot censor. Even the builders of this Bastion infrastructure, they can't censor people either. It is impossible to just single out somebody for censorship. And since there are no central servers to confiscate or block, no government in the world can just, you know, take down the whole system by taking down a bunch of servers. This is going to be the future. Every platform is going to be subjected to more onerous speech restrictions and platform restrictions by the governments of the world. The EU is going crazy with its assaults on free speech, with the EU saying that you're not even allowed to criticize transgenders or you'll go to jail. Now, you're not even allowed to offend anybody for any reason in Scotland or you go to prison. Did you know that? You go to prison for, I think, up to 5 years, is it, or 7 years? If anybody feels offended, that's how crazy it is. So with Brightown.io, you can be truly anonymous. You don't have to give your name, or you don't even have to have an email address to sign up. You don't have to sign up with a cell phone number or anything like that. All you have is a private key. It gives you a private key when you sign up, and that's your access. That's your seed phrase. That's your password. It's all one thing. It's a private key. You have the private key, and you can access the ecosystem. Now, Brightown.io and Bastion share the same ecosystem. So the usernames and all the content are shared across both ecosystems. And that makes it's already got a massive user base right now, and that user base is only going to grow substantially. So visit it right now, Brightown.io. You can kind of see what's going on. You can join up. You can post. You can block people that you don't like so you won't see them, because there are some trolls, obviously, on there. You know, hey, free speech gives you a little bit of everything. It's not always polite. So you may want to block some accounts, or you may want to post some things yourself. But download the app at brightown.io/applications, and then you'll be well set to be able to participate in free speech, even if the internet kill switch is activated. So check it out. And remember, we are building the infrastructure of human freedom, and this is just one example of what we're doing. Thanks to all your support. Thanks to the revenues that we get from our user base, we're able to invest in these kinds of projects to give you back the tools that you need to defend and enhance your freedom, your empowerment, your knowledge base, and so much more. So thank you for your support. This is the latest tool. We have a lot of cool stuff launching this year, and this is a big one, Brightown.io. Thank you for your support. Take care. All right, there's a lot to cover today. We won't have time to cover it all. And by the way, Judy Mikovits, Dr. Mikovits, is going to be our guest today. Fascinating interview with her about corruption in science and medicine. So you're really going to appreciate that. Just want to give you a quick plug here of what's new in our store at healthrangerstore.com. We've got a new product called Organic Golden Milk Superfood Blend that I think you'll find really amazing. So I recorded a couple minutes in the studio today, that talks about these new products that we have and also what's back in stock. So we're going to play that short video, which is really all about the store, a little bit about Brighteon.io, which is a free platform for you. And then we will continue with the news. And then the interview with Dr. Judy Mikovits is coming up after all this. Let me share with you what's new at healthrangerstore.com. We've got an amazing new product, and it's called Golden Milk. I've got some here on the desk showing you. Those are some of the new products. Well, some back in stock. Coco Energize is back in stock. That's got the mushroom blend in it, including the lion's mane mushroom. We've also got the ahi flower oil in the green bottles there. That's the best plant-based oil that's kind of like fish oil, but it's not from fish. It's only from plants. But let me tell you about this Golden Milk. If you could show my screen, this organic Golden Milk superfood blend, you just blend it with water and it makes a delicious drink. Let me show you the ingredients right here. Look at this. Coconut milk powder, date sugar, all organic, organic curcumin, turmeric root powder, ginger root powder, ashwagandha powder. There's a big immune system modulator right there, and organic cinnamon powder. So think about these key ingredients. It's turmeric, it's ginger, it's ashwagandha, and it's cinnamon, and it's sweetened with date sugar, which is naturally low glycemic. This is a truly amazing product. It's super delicious, and it's just loaded with very healthy nutrients. Available now at healthrangerstore.com. And we've also got back in stock now organic Coco Energize. And this has the mushroom blend in it. So not only does it have lion's mane mushroom, but as you can see here, it's got maca powder, reishi powder, chaga, cordyceps, turkey tail, lion's mane, maitake, and shiitake mushroom powder. So also sweetened with coconut sugar. So just an amazing blend. If you love the taste of chocolate and you like the benefits of these medicinal mushrooms, then that's your best product right there. Coco Energize is back in stock at our store. And then we also have organic Seven Treasures mushroom powder available at the store, healthrangerstore.com. This is available now, and it's got the same mushroom blend in it, but it's just concentrated or focused on the mushroom blend without cacao or any other sweeteners or ingredients like that. So be sure to check that out. Now, let me tell you about two infrastructure projects that are available right now, free of charge for you to use. The first one here is Brighteon.ai. So we've released our first artificial intelligence large language model. It's available now. You just register with your email address right here, and then you can download the language models free of charge. They're called Neo. You can download them to your local computer. You can run them. These are special large language model chatbots that we built that are built on base models. The first one is based on Phi-2. Another one's coming based on Mistral. And these allow you to have your own local chatbot with special knowledge in herbs, nutrition, food, gardening, permaculture, all kinds of things like that. And we're continuing with more training and more waves of training, but also an expanded data set. This is free for you to use. We're giving it to the world. It's non-commercial. It's open source. There's no ads on it. There's no surveillance. You use it locally, and it's a massive knowledge base, kind of like a Noah's Ark of knowledge that you can have at your fingertips on Mac, Windows, and Linux systems. So that's all available at Brighteon.ai. And then check out this. We've just announced this site, Brighteon.io, which is a decentralized peer-to-peer social media type of platform. And you're seeing posts here from some of the other users right now. I have no idea what they posted, but there's all kinds of stuff from all over the world. The point of this, Brighteon.io, is it's built on the Bastion platform. So it's completely decentralized. There are no central servers. It doesn't need any domain names to function if you download the app. And you can get the app at Brighteon.io/applications. That will take you to the app. And once you run the app, even if the internet kill switch is activated and domain names no longer function, the app will still work. This is our emergency comms backup system. So just go to Brighteon.io, download the app, and then follow me. My username is Health Ranger. We also have Natural News and Brighteon and so on. Follow me there, and then if something bad happens, the internet, you know, domain name system goes down, but TCP/IP is still working, you'll be able to get our emergency messages through Brighteon.io, the application. Or if you don't want to use the app, and if domain names are working, you can just go to any web browser and type in Brighteon.io. I strongly encourage you to reserve your username now on the platform because it's going to get a lot more popular. So get your usernames, save your secret private key, which is basically your password to be able to log in, and you can start using this platform. There's no censorship. It's not even possible. Even the founders of this system, even the people who built it, can't kick people off of the system because it's structured based on decentralized blockchain technology. That's what powers this whole thing. This is really a revolution in freedom of speech. And I can see a lot more people moving over to this because Twitter is not really free speech. Elon says it is, but it isn't. There's a lot of shadow banning, a lot of deplatforming, a lot of links that are banned. In fact, Brighteon links are banned from Twitter right now still. So use Brighteon.io instead and make sure that you let your audience know that you are on Brighteon.io if you're a podcaster or an influencer or a business, and that this is a way they can always hear from you even if the internet kill switch is activated. Now, finally, back to our store, healthrangerstore.com, and our new foods here, superfoods, organic golden milk superfood blend. All of this is related. When you purchase our products at healthrangerstore.com, not only are you getting the healthiest, lab-tested, certified organic, you know, heavily scrutinized, pure, pristine ingredients, no junk, no garbage, no fillers, you're getting the best superfood products in the world. You're also helping to support our other projects like Brighteon.io and Brighteon.ai. And these are infrastructure projects for human freedom, where we're giving you back the tech free of charge that you can use to empower your knowledge, to empower your voice, and to help defend yourself against censorship and against, nefarious governments that are trying to shut down humanity. So this is all related. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. Enjoy our new products. Show my desk again. Just a little selection of what we have. Golden milk, you're definitely going to want to try that. It's super delicious. You might think drinking turmeric and ginger, how could it be delicious? But it is. It's quite delicious. Check out the Cocoa Energize. Check out the Ahi Flower Oil and so many other products that we have available now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and I thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. God bless you, and God bless America. Take care. Now, we've got some other news about Hunter Biden and the Ukrainian firm known as Burisma and the corruption there, at least according to Russia. Kim.com tweeted this out earlier. He said, wild times. Russian investigation committee found that Ukrainian gas company Burisma funded the terror attack in Moscow. That was the Crocus City Hall. I think it was the Crocus Concert Hall terrorism attack in Moscow. That, what's the death count on that? 140 plus people? Very tragic. Kim.com goes on and says, quote, the same company that hired Hunter Biden and paid Joe Biden to get the prosecutor fired who was investigating them. Biden corruption is back in the spotlight, he says. And here's the headline from RT, which is, of course, funded by the Russian government. So keep that in mind. But it says, Hunter Biden linked Ukrainian firm connected to terror attacks in Russia, says Moscow. So Russian investigators are claiming that multiple entities, including Burisma Holdings, have been involved in funding terrorism. A Biden family-linked Ukrainian business has been named in a criminal probe into the financing of terrorism, Russia's investigative committee announced on Tuesday. The industrial conglomerate Burisma Holdings, which employed Hunter Biden as a highly paid director, yeah, right, in the 2010s, is included among several entities listed by investigators. What were they paying Hunter, like $1 million a month or something? Or was that a year? It was a crazy amount of money for somebody that just basically sits around smoking crack and banging hookers, you know? Hunter Biden doesn't know anything about the natural gas distribution industry. He was paid as a payoff, obviously, for Joe Biden to pull some favors. And this is one of the reasons why NATO and America are so desperate, by the way, to try to stop Russia from beating Ukraine. Because, well, if Ukraine is defeated in this war, then a lot of this truth is going to come out. And the whole history of corruption and criminality by the Biden crime family is going to be out in full daylight for everybody to see. Remember, this is the era of transparency. So this is all going to come out. The story continues. The focus on the company stems from a complaint filed by a group of Russian MPs and public figures in the aftermath of the deadly Crocus City Hall attack outside Moscow last month. The original petition claims that the U.S. and its allies have allegedly organized a string of attacks on Russian soil. Yeah, you can bet Victoria Nuland is behind a lot of that. Continuing, so far, investigators have, quote, established that the funds flowing through commercial organizations, including the oil and gas conglomerate Burisma Holdings, operating in Ukraine, have been used in recent years to carry out terrorist attacks in Russia, said committee spokeswoman Svetlana Petrenko, I guess, if I'm getting that right. Terrorist activities have also taken place in third countries aimed at the elimination of prominent political and public figures, as well as causing economic damage. So basically, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are linked to Burisma. Burisma is linked to terrorism against Russia in Moscow and other countries, including, you know, assassinations and so on. And don't forget that FTX, the big fake crypto Ponzi scheme with Sam Bankman freed, FTX was also laundering money through Ukraine and was probably part of this entire system of funding terrorism, is my guess. I don't have proof of that, but that's my guess based on what's coming out now. FTX was definitely part of this, or at least I suspect they were part of this, I'll say. Just my assessment. Oh, and here in the story, it says, yeah, they paid Hunter Biden $1 million a year. Wow, $1 million a year. And there's all kinds of details in here about cash bribes. Like one bribe was $6 million. And then when they got caught, they paid a fine of $1,800. So, yeah, exactly. Total corruption. So nobody's surprised about any of that. And it definitely underscores the reason why NATO and the U.S. are so desperate to try to stop Russia, to stop this truth from coming out. Now, moving on to a different story here. We have two leading Japanese companies have warned that AI could cause a social collapse and wars if governments do not act to regulate the technology. This, according to the UK Daily Mail. So, according to the story, Nippon Telegraph and Telephone, NTT. I never know how to pronounce the word Nippon. I honestly don't know. It's just an odd word in English. Anyway, Nippon Telegraph and Telephone, Japan's biggest telecoms firm, and then also another company called Yomiuri Shimbun Group Holdings. That's a very Japanese name. Cool sounding name. The owners of the nation's largest newspaper, they published a joint manifesto on the rapid development of generative AI. The declaration said that AI could confidently lie and deceive users and may undermine the democratic order by interfering in the areas of elections and security to cause enormous irreversible damage. It sounds like they're panicked over losing control of speech because AI will bypass censorship, which is exactly what we are doing with our AI model that you can find at brighteon.ai. So the governments are absolutely panicked because they can't stop large language models from being distributed and used locally by people. And when people use them locally, then the governments can't surveil that because nothing's going across the internet. Nothing is happening in the cloud that can be easily surveilled. So, of course, what is Japan recommending as a solution? Well, more government control, obviously. They're saying that there needs to be, quote, strong legal restrictions on the use of generative AI, hard laws with enforcement powers. See, this is why I'm urging you to download our language models while you still can, because there's going to be a global effort to outlaw generative AI if it's not controlled by the nefarious, tyrannical government regimes that are currently controlling speech through big tech platforms. Just like Brazil demanding that Elon Musk silence these certain accounts who are probably telling the truth about what's going on in Brazil and the rigged elections in Brazil. Well, you know, any form of truth is going to be targeted for censorship and destruction. And so even as we release large language models via Brighteon.ai, we're going to be releasing, you know, multiple models here, and they're all free. They're all open source. They're all downloadable, not commercial, no advertising. They don't run in the cloud. They run locally on your own systems, but we're releasing Neo Phi 2, advanced models, more coming with larger data sets. We're going to be releasing Neo Dolphin Mistral 7B and then Neo Bio Mistral 7B, which is trained on the PubMed data. And then after that, we're looking at some 13 billion parameter models. I don't know, maybe Falcon, something else. I don't know. But we're going to be releasing a whole string of models, and the powers that be are losing their minds trying to figure out how to stop all this, because they can't control the conversation. It's kind of like during the early days of the internet, where they couldn't control. They didn't have, you know, centralized big tech partners like Facebook and Google and YouTube that they could just demand, hey, censor all these people. In the early days of the internet, it was very decentralized. And that's the way that AI language models are right now. And it's going to be very, very hard for the governments of the world to centralize AI models, because we can compile standalone executable files, .exe files, distribute them through torrent websites. You can download them and run them locally, and nobody even knows you have it. They can't monitor you, you know? So this is, once again, a new era of decentralization of content and knowledge. And that's why we are training our language models on 1,000 books. Actually, it's more than 1,000, but it's just an easier kind of milestone to remember, is 1,000 books. And the kind of data processing pipeline that we're doing is extensive. I wish I could tell you more about it, but some of it is, I mean, well, we wrote all the code ourselves, and we came up with some very clever things that I don't think anybody else knows how to do, frankly, in this space. I don't even think Google knows how to do this. They're lazy because they have unlimited money, and they have unlimited control over their domains. So they don't have to be clever anymore. They can be lazy and incompetent and arrogant. But we have to be smart and entrepreneurial and innovative, because we have, you know, very small budgets. And, you know, we're more like the David versus Goliath. You know, we're the David. Google is the Goliath. So anyway, a lot of good stuff that we are working on. And I want to thank you for your support as we pursue all this. But just remember, the governments of the world are trying to roll out all kinds of horrendous controls over generative AI. So even if you don't know how to run these models, you should download them. Just go to Brighteon.ai, sign up there. We'll alert you as each new model is available for free. And we plan to release another model this Friday. At least that's the plan. We'll see. I will keep you posted about all of that. And by the way, something else very interesting. I announced Brighteon.io, Friday or a couple days ago, in an emergency comms podcast. I guess it was Saturday. And somebody translated that into Russian. And so there's actually a video out there that's all in Russian that is on the Bastion platform, or you can access it through Brighteon.io. Of my entire podcast about emergency communications that somebody has redubbed in Russian. It's so interesting to hear that. And I'm a little bit surprised, because that's quite an effort. It's like a 33-minute podcast, quite an effort to go through and re-record that in Russian. But I suppose the overall truth here is that human freedom is a worldwide desire. Everybody wants to be free. Americans want to be free. Russians want to be free. You know, think about it. Chinese want to be free. The Europeans want to be free. The Indians want to be free. You know, the Turks want to be free. Every human being, everywhere you go in the world, they want freedom. They crave freedom. And as these new tools emerge that can help provide that freedom, well, then, you know, people are going to, of course, take advantage of those tools, which is exactly what they should be doing. Now, by the way, I interviewed Dr. Brian Artis today. We're not playing that interview today. It's an awesome interview. It's the best interview I've ever done with Dr. Artis. And he showed me something. Well, he said something during the interview that just blew my mind. And I'm like, show me, send me a picture of that. And he sent me the picture, which you won't believe what this is. I can't tell you now, but I will tell you when we post this interview. He sends me the picture. There it is on the box. I can't believe it. And then I go online and I confirm it. And I'm able to find where this is acquired with this on the box. Oh my God, wait till you hear this story. It's absolutely mind-blowing. I'm hoping that I can roll that out for you either tomorrow or the next day, but it might be Monday. I'm not exactly sure, but just a little teaser there. You definitely want to hear this interview with Dr. Brian Artis. It is, oh my gosh. In fact, I mean, we're going to break a big major story about this. I'm going to write it up myself once I get these in my hands. It's like, you're not going to believe this. Dr. Artis comes up with the most bombshell stuff. It's just like, wow. Now, by the way, I have a standalone special report that will be posted separate, you know, from this broadcast. And you might want to check it out. It'll be posted either today or tomorrow. The title is Americans to be Replaced by Migrants, Then Migrants to be Exterminated by Terminator AI Robots. I've decoded this thing. And there it is in a nutshell. You and I, we're going to be replaced by the illegals crossing the border and going into the purge day, the activation day. They're going to try to exterminate all of us or displace all of us, take our homes, you know, take our businesses, take our country. And then when that's done, well, guess what? The wave of Terminator AI robots is going to be making its way into the world. And then those robots will run around the world exterminating, you know, basically most humans, if they can, if they get away with it. This is what the globalists want. So these migrants that think like, we're winning, we're taking over America. Yeah. Yeah. Until the Terminator robots come for you and hunt you down and kill you like the way Israel does to food aid workers in Gaza. That's what's coming. So be sure to check out that podcast. Then I've also got another separate special report about just an update on our Neo AI large language model. And there's a lot more coming, by the way. I wish I could give you more details about this, but at the moment I can't. It's just incredible, though, by the way. I have to thank you for your support. What we have built in terms of the language model with our own dime, I mean, not a single dollar from anybody else. And like, there's no like angel investors, there's no grants, there's no government money, there's no loans, there's no banks, nothing. We took profits from our store. We built an infrastructure for AI language models. You know, I designed it. I designed the whole system. I didn't write the code. I have developers that write code, but I designed it and then I yelled at them until they got the code right. It took a bit of back and forth. And we're still making improvements all the time, by the way. And then we got the data pipeline to work. And it's we've done it on what is considered a shoestring budget, less than $1 million. I don't know anybody else in the world that could do what we did for less than $1 million. In fact, nobody could. I mean, it just, period. Nobody could do what we did for less than $1 million. Google would spend like $50 million to do what we did for less than $1 million. The government would spend, you know, $1 billion and it would fail. But we did it for less than $1 million. And we, as a result, our entire process is not compromised by anybody. We don't have anybody pulling our strings, nobody telling us what to do or what we can't do or what speech we're allowed to put in the model or you know, censorship that you have. No, none of that. We're putting in everything that we think is valuable to you. And this model is entirely uncensored. So there you go. Thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. Now, with that said, let's go to the interview with Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I think you'll really appreciate this. Now, she was in this interview, she was pretty feisty, kind of angered about the corruption of science and medicine. So you should expect that what you're about to see is kind of the, you know, it's kind of the fired up Dr. Mikovits. This is not the, you know, the pleasant Sunday morning brunch Judy Mikovits. It's like, everything's great. No, this is like, you know, damn those, you know, tyrants. So get ready for that. That's what's coming. But it's a very good interview. And Dr. Mikovits is one of a kind. She is she's extraordinary, and her work has been extraordinary, and her ability to tell the truth and the courage that she has is also rather extraordinary as well. So enjoy the interview with Dr. Mikovits, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Welcome to today's episode here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and we have a special guest today. Dr. Judy Mikovits is the author of Plague of Corruption, Restoring Faith and the Promise of Science, and several other books. And of course, she's been one of the key educators in teaching us about the total corruption of the biomedical system and how it's been weaponized against humanity long before COVID, by the way. Welcome, Dr. Mikovits. It's an honor to have you on today again.
Good to see you again, Mike.
Great to see you. Now you've been busy. I admire so much your energy. You travel, you speak, you educate, and you have really been raising awareness about the fact that this plague of corruption, as the title of your book says, was its origins go back long before COVID. You want to start there today?
Yeah, sure. Plague of Corruption. Bobby Kennedy wrote the foreword of Plague of Corruption, but he wrote it pretty much in the summer of 2014. And we started writing it, that book, August 31st, 2014, which was the day I met Brian Hooker, the day our first book, Plague, was in press. And that's not even the cover of our first book, Plague. I'll show that to you in a minute. But our first book, Plague, was in press. And so we couldn't do much. And that day when I saw William Thompson's handwriting in the notebook of his CDC notebook that said, what are we going to do about the problems with the blacks? Typed in his handwriting over an email, where, of course, we all know what William Thompson was doing with the MMR vaccine to hide the fact that certain populations were injured at 2 to 4-fold more like than most people. So that started the whole thing. And I just called Ken Heck and Lively and I said, okay, you win. It's a plague of corruption. And and we just went to all the data we didn't see. And that summer, Bobby was writing the foreword and Kent and J.B. Handley had drafted it for him, I believe, among others, and Bobby weighing in. So I'm on a train in Carlsbad, California, and I asked him, I emailed him, just said, Bobby, how can I help? Because I saw the government pull the book out of one of our NIH colleagues, and I saw the answer I got from the book. And it's actually how God's in all of it. They thought they had the entire book in the summer of 2019, because the last chapter was called The Way Forward. And so The Way Forward wasn't The Way Forward at all. So Bobby said, I said, Bobby, how can I help? And he said, there's something missing. He's so astute. I just really love him for his intelligence and insight. And I said, I know you're busy, Bobby, read the last chapter. Because the last chapter was, maybe there's one more story I should tell you. And that one more story is, you know, Frank Rossetti, Judy Mikovits, you know, we refused to give up the data. We secured it at every level, you know, as I secured it in 2011 when I was kidnapped J6 style right here in Ventura, California. I mean, it's hard from my point of view to even understand this story and see the intent.
But let's
in the 70s.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think only, frankly, since COVID have many Americans become aware that their government agencies have been weaponized against them, if not weaponized against humanity. And it's not just FDA and CDC, but it's NIH. You know, the NIH, I think, is sort of the grand master of a lot of this weaponization, and the NIAID, of course, under Fauci. But take us back to where this began and how long, in your view, you just mentioned the 1970s, but there are things that even happened before that. I remember I was seeing stories of the science advisor during the Richard Nixon administration talking about spiking food exports with depopulation chemicals so that we could make sure that fewer African children are born. So, you know, that this has been going on for a long time. Fill us in on how far back this goes.
Well, it goes back even to the 40s. So in the foreword of this book, Plague, and It's Hillary Johnson, and I'm going to show you another book in a minute. But this foreword by Hillary Johnson is called A Disease Able to Affect the Economy of Nations. And Hillary Johnson, I'd call her your first citizen journalist. And she wrote this book, Osler's Web, Inside the Labyrinth of Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. And I first learned of this in 2005. So what we were doing in our book club over the last 4 weeks, last night was the fourth night, is we were on Twitter X, on X Spaces. We were playing on the Audible version, that forward. We played that first on February 21st. Then we played Bobby Kennedy's forward in Plague of Corruption on February 28th. Last week we played chapter 5 of Plague, which is Kent Heckenlively's, the first cases of ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis, which Tony Fauci called chronic fatigue syndrome back in the late 80s, especially in throughout the 80s, because Tony Fauci said only gay men, prostitutes and IV drug users could get HIV. And therefore, we all know it was injected by way of the hepatitis B vaccine. And this is what Mickey Willis learned in the movie Plandemic, because that's what we were talking about in 2019. So for me, it goes back to 1982 at Fort Detrick. That's when I was riffed reduction in force by Ronald Reagan, who ran on a campaign of reducing the size of the federal government. Well, he didn't reduce it. He brought us all back as contract research organizations. So our last book, and what that did is it made us hired guns to people like Tony Fauci and even in pharma. So you're right, but it's the entirety of HHS. And it's how they did the Bayh-Dole Act in 1980. But Hillary, in this book, she met me in May of 2009, right after we submitted our paper to the journal Science. That showed that the using animal retroviruses, that's the inconvenient truth. I'm just going to stand up and grab this important newspaper article, which from the Ventura County Star, the Sunday after Thanksgiving in 2014. So this is the original cover of Plague of Corruption. And right in the middle of that picture here, sorry, go the right way, right in the middle of that picture, and where my pen is pointing, is aneuploidy. Celia Farber, 2006 to the, in 2023, re-released her book, Serious Adverse Events. Peter Duesberg, the classic scientist. So I was Duesberged, I wasn't Wakefielded, because I'm a scientist. So you have to ask yourself, why was this hit piece produced after the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 4 years to the day after I was released almost to the weekend, a release from that kidnapping from that jail in Ventura County, J6 style. So this goes back to 1940. This goes back to 1938. It goes back to 1918. But the key of the 70s is those people, Frank Rossetti and everybody else, Candace Pert, Molecules of Emotion, discovered endorphins, peptide T, cured AIDS, cured cancer, type 1 interferon, cured AIDS, cured cancer. March 31st, 1980, cover of Time magazine. I was right there in University of Virginia, and I'm a protein chemist and a fermentation chemist, which means I make those cell lines. So what happened in 1982? Well, I was told by Bob Gallo and the head of NCI and NIAID to manufacture in an open air centrifuge 50 gallons. It's like 250 liters of HTLV1. The first disease-associated human retrovirus discovered by Frank Rossetti and Bernie Poise. And It manufactured in the tumor cell line, grown in the tumor cell line, straight from the man. I won't say his name, but it's in the books. And straight from the man who died from Jamaica, a black man. And so there you get the tumor, you put it in culture. You don't isolate it, you manufacture it. And it wow. wasn't his endogenous virus. And so they told me in an open air centrifuge to in Fort Detrick, that mimics Wuhan, China, and that biosafety level 4. That's exactly where all of this came from in the 90s.
So, Dr. Mikovits, I mean, the story that you're outlining here, this is just jaw-dropping to those who aren't familiar with it before. You're saying that, I mean, almost Soviet Union style, you know, you were arrested because of the science, because of the knowledge that you had, and I think what you're saying is that the entire medical industrial complex, they had the cures. They could have cured cancer. They could have cured AIDS. They knew how to do it. They withheld that from the public, and instead they weaponized it to grow pro-tumor substances to be put into the vaccines, to inject people, to cause cancer, to cause AIDS, to cause mass death. And that leads us to where we are today. Is that a fair summary?
That's exactly correct. And what I did, how I got jailed and what I did and what Frank Rossetti did is refuse. We obeyed, you know, God, the Constitution, the law. We worked for the taxpayers, the Bayh-Dole Act, as I said in the beginning of Plandemic. Patent, public, private partnerships. You paid, the taxpayers paid for every penny of my education since 1976 and every penny of every job. I was a full-on either contract research employee at the National Cancer Institute. Where's the problem with that? He didn't reduce the size of the federal government. He made us all puppets to Tony Fauci and Bob Gallo and the bureaucrats. It's not us, the good scientists. It's not us, the people with integrity. And then he said, you do it. And we wrote letters to the Washington Post. Look at it. And so that's why I lost my job. We said, oh, we can't. There's no safety known on this buy. We can't do that. There are young women here who are pregnant. We can't release this through the air. We don't know its transmissibility. And when we listen to these three books, especially Ending Plague, this is the book nobody wants you to listen to and or to know about. And it's interesting because they purposely say the names. My name is the only name that said close to correctly, but Bernie Poish and Rossetti, you can't even hardly make out, and certainly not my husband's name. So yeah, they murdered my husband. We have proof. We have absolute proof. And that's what we're running on now. Because called it COVID, but when you use your God-given immune system in plants and botanicals according to nature, yes, we had the patents in 2010 and 2009 to cure the prostate cancer. And all the government, should anybody in the government, let's see how I can say, have kahunas in a nice way. But yeah. Again, you have to stand. We're standing for the people. You can't have a public-private partnership and take public discoveries and patent them. And what did Tony Fauci do? Oh, that Bayh-Dole Act was 1980. Oh, so all the patents before that, all the intellectual property, Frank Rossetti's discovery of interleukin-2, we know what they did. They fired him. It was called T-cell growth factor, Frankie's factor. It's all in the book, and you can see in that book. They fired him. They locked him in a closet in Fort Detrick with one technician who happened to be the one from hell. And you know, it's like, hey, you know, and I could see in his eyes. I see Robert Maloney's eyes. You realize what is going on. They shut you down. They take it all. They give somebody else your work. They publish it as fraud. So, and you're doing everything you can. And you can't do anything about it because of the corruption of people like John Coffin. John Coffin reviewed this paper. Go find the Ventura Star. The reason I covered up the top of this is because it had a little picture of an ugly old man. And it said how guilt was turned to innocence. And then right here on this old fishing boat, which was all I had left in 2014 after I lost everything I ever made, $10 million in Morehouse. So it says Judy Mikovits and her husband, David Noldy, live part of the year on a boat in the Channel Islands. Yeah, we're homeless. An Oxnard researcher speaks out, pushed out. And the book's shown sideways. And then you go to the backs and you follow Mikovits. My name's not Mikovits. It's Judy Noldy. And I got married October 7th of 2000. I left the National Cancer Institute May 11th of 2001, bought absolutely every bit of my intellectual property to a company called Genius Pharmaceuticals. It was later Biosciences. In Santa Barbara, California, and we made both the detections, the microarray, the epigenetics, the switches, and discovered how to cure every one of these things by modulating with food and natural products and botanicals.
Let me ask you, it's just mind-blowing what you're saying, but I would imagine that for every one person like you who's pro-human, you want to protect human lives. You are a person of faith. You believe in God's creation and the sanctity of it. For every person like you, there must be 100 others in the biotech industry who are basically aligned with Satanism, who are willing to murder, to slaughter anything for power, anything for profit. I would put Fauci, obviously, in that category. Do you think that's a true statement? That
yes, it's 101 evil? It's a cult called Scientism. It's a cult called Scientism. It's a cult. It's not Satanism. It's a cult called Scientism. It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with truth. It has nothing to do with data. Facts are facts. Everything we presented in our data are facts. They're not an opinion. They're not anything but how the world works. You discover nature. You can't patent it. So what did they do? Oh, a little gain of function. Modify it so that we can own it.
Right,
well, recombinant interferon doesn't work.
But then what do you suppose, knowing what you know and what you have been through, which is more than almost anybody else has experienced in this, what do you suppose they have planned for us next?
Well, what I have planned for us is to take everything behind me and everything in the freezers that we saved in the hard drive we gave the FBI, the DOJ, Jason Chaffetz, oh, you name it, the entire government. You know that. You were at these tables with us in 14, 17, 19. We have all the data. We have all the cures. I told you that company, Genius Omnitura, when Epigenix Pharmaceuticals was bought out by a cancer company, and the drugs we made cured cancer. 2006, look at Supergen, look at decetabine, look at epigenetics, and look at the therapies that we used. They don't have anything plans for us. What are we going to do about it? We have the cures right here. I have every TGF-beta antibody. I have every formulation of botanical adjuvants that are absolutely FDA legal approved, never need to be looked at by the FDA. Presented to Merck. Yeah, since 2010. Patented. I own the patent for the PCR test for all things COVID AIDS, which is vaccine AIDS. Every one of what they poisoned us with, every sequence, every biological response modifier, that was the original program back in the 1980s, 83 through 87, when I started working for Frank Rossetti. We cured it all then, and all we have to do it is do it again, walk off into the universe that you and others have created, where we're just out of their system. Say no, thank you. FDA is a criminal. No more FDA.
Why don't you just put together a nutritional supplement based on your knowledge and offer that as a dietary supplement?
I wrote a patent. I don't need a supplement. These people are all being drugged with poisons. We can't use supplements anymore. Look at the poison in there. You have to use botanical adjuvants, yeah, and you have to use the drugs at very low dose as snipers to kill those so that the aneuploidy never happens. You have to, this is COVID. Why is my pen pointing to this picture? This is a 2006 picture, and it's in my right hand. It's in my desk drawer here.
But so is there some way that you could put together a formula that
it's
where
done.
Maybe
the,
these molecules are found in nature that could be concentrated from plants and put together?
They're different formulas. For instance, you take rapamycin, which is the microbial, the drug from the microbial, that is the mTOR pathway, mammalian target of rapamycin, is an energy production pathway. We all know how important mTOR is now. The WNT pathway, WNT in cancers, that's ivermectin modulates the WNT pathway. You put ivermectin and rapamycin, sirolimus at very low dose on a foundation of CardioMiracle, because it hits all the three things COVID, calveoli-mediated endocytosis, so that you don't, you can recognize a viral particle and not this stuff as your cells are doing that job. And then you take type 1 interferon, so your plasmacytoid dendritic cells tell your tell the regulatory B cells what kind of antibody to make. They don't know, because we inject everything and bypass the innate immune response. So it's about using plants, not synthetics. It's about skin, eye formulation. So you hit mucosal surfaces and protect the mucosal surfaces. And then look at the pathway of the poison from the clinical symptom. These are pathways of healing. So yes, in Genius Omnitura, we took that strategy and we said, what pathways do we have to hit in prostate cancer? We started there because that's where the virus was cloned. Joe DeRisi and Bob Silberman didn't discover XMRV in prostate cancer in 2005. They cloned it. They cloned it from three different men. So it was a Frankenstein clone. It's what McKernan and people are talking about. You make an infectious molecular clone behind an SV40 promoter. Of course you do. That's molecular biology. But that doesn't work as far as continue to express and develop an immune response, because as David Martin says clearly, you've transfected it. You didn't get an infection. You injected, you transfected it across the cell, across your God-given protection. So the whole strategy of the whole industry has to change. And so that's why, you know, those drugs were never on patent, because there were no patents with rapamycin and ivermectin, and certainly not Suramin, the 110-year-old drug that comes from trypanosomes, but it comes from worms. So you can see the government's vindictiveness when I say Suramin. Every time I say Suramin, last time it was early February 2021. And I said it on purpose on Jason Chirka's show, and I got exactly what I expected. Yeah, censored all our books, created three fake websites, sold pine needle tea, turpentine, something to work, and called it Suramin. And all the poor people who are the victims of this are running every day to try, help me, help me, help me. You know, why are we begging them to help us when all they did was poison us? We've got the solution.
Exactly.
And that company spent $80 million. And everything through phase one, phase two clinical trial. I remember presenting in front of Ian Lipkin at the New York Academy of Sciences, March 29, 2011. Oh, that was right before I was jailed. March 29th, the blood supply is heavily contaminated. Here's how you fix it. Serous. Fixed it with serous. And then showed them, this works. The Genius Omnitura formulation, botanical adjuvants, along with using drugs at very low dose. So you're taking advantage of synergies, and you put the adjuvant according to, I might use reishi mushroom. I might use cystus incanus. I will certainly use different things for HIV Lyme disease, which isn't Lyme disease. I'm sorry, that's a G protein. And in our classes at night, that's what we went through last night for 2 hours. Just listen to the last two chapters of Plague of Corruption. And you're just going to shake your head and say, how could they have done this? And, wow. And Bobby knew this in 19. And that's the brilliance of this book. And so did Trump by the time Plandemic came out.
But the thing is,
not until then.
The thing is, well, you mentioned Trump, and Trump just recently doubled down, tripled down on how great the vaccine is. And he says this mRNA technology can be used now to beat cancer. He got quite a shellacking from his own support base, including from me too, by the way, saying, you know, what are you saying? How could Trump be so disconnected from the reality of the last 4 years? Any idea?
Well, I have a couple of ideas, but yeah, no. See, here's the problem. He didn't know until 2020. Who censored that book and held that book? What did Anthony Fauci promise him? on the Sunday before the election, after Hillary fell down in the streets. Yeah, you got your, and her press secretary came up the next day, said she's fully vaccinated. And every one of us said, gift straight from God. Are you kidding me? She said, what? You know, the years, look at the years. So he signed something unwittingly about a flu shot in 2019 because Fauci promised him Flunami. He promised him the flu. They made it in 2004. They made SARS-CoV-2 in 2004 and manufactured it in the same Vero monkey kidney cell line that they manufactured Ebola and everything else. And I know that because I made that cell line produce those strains and variants. That's how you change it. Cripple the pathway. So if you know the natural pathway God's given you to fix it, all you have to do is restore your own immune system to balance with clean food, with clean minerals. We don't have any minerals. We don't have any air. We don't have any water. We don't have anything. And, yeah, and look how good our God is. But so you see, now people are so heavily drugged. At the time, there was a syndrome in AIDS called IRIS. It's immune reconstitution inflammatory syndrome. And I remember it very clear, what to do with your immune system when you had none. We don't make fevers. We don't kid with the IL-1 beta, the cytokine storm. Yes, we can see these things and we can fix it. So if you turn that on too fast, you burn out. And we saw it. So you have to really manipulate it to hit the core pathways. And we've done that, you know, over the last, you know, even the last 15 years. Yes, Genius Omniture and Epigenics were 25 years ahead of their time. But God knew that, and God knew how we would respond. And now the rest of us have to make a public outcry and say, okay, here is the strategy. Here is the data. Give it to the people.
Well, this is what I'm trying to get at is we've seen this weaponization of the biotech industry, of the medical science establishment, has been weaponized against humanity in a multitude of ways. What you're talking about here today is one of them, but there are also others as well. And
DPA, David Lewis, science for sale.
EPA, yeah, exactly. No, I've interviewed Dr. Lewis. And biosludge. Think about all the hormone disruptors in the biosludge that's spread on the farms. And We are living in a deliberate toxic stew, but then people are still signing up to take more jabs, swallow more pharmaceuticals, grow their food, and I apologize for using the term, but they're growing their food in human shit, okay? Because that's what biosludge is. And
they're
every city,
it.
They're effectively, yeah, every city's dumping its raw sewage all over the farms, and people are just like, well, I trust the science. You know, the ones that aren't dead yet.
It's not science. There is no science. When you do statistics, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Show me the data. Here's the science. Here's the science. Here's the science. The 1970s. Here's the science. The Wistar. Here's the science. You know, Germany. Here's the science. Here's the science. The real Anthony Fauci. The books are behind me. There's the science. None of these books are in any library. None of these books are being taught to medical students. Medical students aren't being taught immunology. They're being taught consensus and propaganda. There is no science in propaganda. There is no science. You don't need statistics. Gravity is gravity.
You know? Yeah.
And viruses are viruses. And I know how they work. I got Ebola. Had an outbreak recently. I worked on these things. The doctors and the nurses.
Is there a point where this fraudulent facade collapses?
Already has, if we embrace it. Already has, but we can't get people to hear us if we're censored. What I believe what Trump is doing is trying to show us all that. You know, he tried, drank Clorox. It's not Clorox, it's chlorine dioxide. If you don't know your chemistry, go back to school. But again, Matt, all the things that we knew, dimethylglycine, it's a food. Two methyl groups on glycine.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. You don't put it, it's in grass. Glyphosate is a phosphate group on one of those binding sites. Therefore, you can never make food. No processed food is food, and our cows don't eat grass. That was my 1-year stint in Upjohn, and you'll hear it in the books. And Upjohn is now Pfizer. And this was 1986 and 1987. You know, the state of Michigan said there's no HIV in Michigan. So I had to go back and forth on the Learjet that went to the FDA every Monday, and I'm 28 years old with a backpack and usually a baseball hat. And I'm, you know, and all these people are looking at me. And all I'm doing is going to spike a product called AtGam, an gamma globulin. And that the company, Upjohn made. And they made it out of blood products and animal blood products, including horse and human. So we spiked it with millions of units of HIV and just showed the manufacturing process would take it to undetectable levels, whether it was there or not. So, and this is in the book. So again, we can clean up everything, but they don't want to. And there they said, there's no HIV in Michigan. Well, my hairdresser was a gay guy with AIDS, and here they were killing them, but they're right there in Upjohn. And, you know, work with beautiful people, and you could see it in these books, and they had the cure. I remember seeing Celia Farber on a show a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to have the gift of going to see again Peter Duesberg in the next day. And he and just again talking, because you see the damage, because Celia Farber said no one was listening. No, we heard you. I felt like Horton hears a who, the Dr. Seuss, because I'm a Wahoo, as you know.
Well, let's break this down to some practical things for the listeners, because it's difficult for people to navigate. You know, you're very technical. You're a scientist. You've been steeped in all of this. But for the average person trying to figure out how to navigate this, it seems like what you're saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but of course, stay away from the jabs, stay away from the pharmaceuticals, stay away from the experimental bioweapons that are called vaccines. And
stay away
focus
from
on
a grocery store with a pharmacy in it. Stay away from
right.
a grocery store.
Process
don't eat processed
foods.
Food.
Right.
Don't go to Starbucks. It's battery acid. There's a way we can, no more health insurance, no more Medicare, none. Done.
And focus on clean food, real food, things you can grow yourself. You can get from a farmer's market, or you can buy organic produce, for example. You can make your own meals out of real food, and you can avoid many of these toxins. But, you know, here's something else, Judy. I meet people all the time who think that, oh, they're eating organic and they didn't get jabbed. And then and they're washing their clothes in these toxic laundry detergents filled with all these chemicals. I'm like, how can you be doing that? People still have poisons in their life with their deodorant, their shampoo, their laundry detergent, the fabric softeners. They don't get the whole picture. They don't clean up everything. They only clean up part of it. And then they wonder, why do I have cancer? I'm eating organic. Well, because you're giving yourself cancer through your skin with your toxic products. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without going to the sun. The sun doesn't cause cancer. There's no such thing as an oncogene. You know, look at commercials tonight. Oh, oncogene. God didn't give you cancer-causing genes. Do you know what BRCA1 is? Not breast cancer. It's everything. It's a DNA repair gene. It's part of a huge complex, and it's from radiation poisoning. So the radiation is in your water. The radiation is in your food. The radiation is being sprayed on you. Back all the way to the 60s, they sprayed all this radiation. This is what we just saw on the high wire today. So we're, yeah, but people don't know. But you said perhaps the key thing. I eat organic. Well, everything with carbon in is organic. Why are you testing carbon? You know, what are your terms? They're meaningless terms. These are meaningless terms. We talk in words that have absolutely no meaning.
Yeah, well, in that case, I meant, you know, USDA certified organic grown without synthetic pesticides. But
well,
I got to tell you, I've seen massive fraud.
When I see USDA organic, I won't buy that. You know why?
Why?
They irradiate it. They kill your food.
Very often they do.
I will.
Exactly right. Or they fumigate the nuts, the almonds and the cashews. Many of them are fumigated. Mm-hmm. And actually, I learned this yesterday. There's a company that supplies microalgae. And we got a sample of microalgae from them. They said it's all organic. We got the sample, and we realized that it's actually made by this other company. We called the other company and said, do you make organic? And they said, no, we don't even create organic microalgae. This other company had counterfeited the organic certification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see that all the time.
But if I see USDA organic on a bottle, I don't buy it. I don't buy pills. I buy powders, liquids. That's why these, essentially the powders we've moved to and the liquids we've moved to, this is the way I used to manufacture. This is the way I developed these programs all the way back to fermentation chemistry. We ferment the food. We purify it accordingly. We take advantage of synergies. Everybody can't eat curcumin. Especially not redheads. You will hurt yourself if you don't keep that at a level. So you want to make vitamin D. You don't drink vitamin D. You don't inject niacin or you will turn it off. You don't drink N-acetylcysteine and you don't drink zinc. Come on. What are we doing?
Wait, what are you saying about curcumin and redheads? I'd never heard that before. What's that all about?
We see in people of certain origins through the lifetime, if they eat curcumin, the NF-kappa B, the cytokine storm and the signal that goes to NF-kappa B is so much stronger than everybody's out. It's like a burnout. It can lead you into depression and other things, or you might have a rash. It's so different people have different sensitivities, like a vitamin D receptor of a black person acts like a resistor. One molecule of sunlight comes in as 0.0001, 1/1000. In people like, not me, because I'm darker than I look. In people from Sweden, they get one molecule of sunlight amplifies 1,000 times. But at the end of the day, the signal that goes to the nucleus of your cell has to equal one, no matter which human you are, no matter what part of the world you are. And the key is sunlight in that respect. And we're eating different kinds of food. So the sensitivities, you have different responses. So your vitamin D sensors on the surface of your cell, they're trimmed like antennae. They're like antennae. And we trim them down if you don't want to absorb as much. So this is your cilia. This is everything about your cells. And it's beautiful when you can see it in that way, according to nature, and study it, where you're not just told to memorize something. And so you see, it's the sensors that sense your environment. From the second you're born, you take off the epigenetic marks. That's my career, DNA methylation. You wipe it off and then you restart according to your environment. And then your mom and your dad, your X chromosome, that's where you regulate the expression of all your genes, all your genes. That's why we had our company, Epigenex Pharmaceuticals.
Epigenex, that's funny.
That was our company in 2001. It's not funny, it's sad, because they stole this material and they used it against us, just like they did with Omnitura Genius in 2010. I'll send you the patents, because we could make this tomorrow, and I know you can. And you and Ed Group, we've been talking about sourcing. I love the way the manufacturer with the water, with the sound. It's raw, it's real, it's living food. And I can't wait till we get some of these nutrients. They're not supplements, they're basic foundations of all of life.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. I want to give out your website. It's The Real Dr. Judy, which is therealdrjudy.com, is where people can follow you. You've got books. You've got the book club that you were talking about here several times, a weekly newsletter, and some product solutions also here, information solutions, products, and so on. Dr. Judy, I just want to thank you for raising the alarm. We need more whistleblowers, and I know that you've paid a very heavy price in terms of your career. Over many years for telling the truth. But look, like the Boeing whistleblower was found dead with a gunshot wound in a parking lot on his third day of testifying against Boeing. So you know what happens to whistleblowers.
Right.
Yeah.
I know God wins.
And God wins, exactly. So any other final thoughts you want to add here before we wrap this up today?
Well, just exactly that. We were just last weekend at the premiere of Plandemic the Musical. and it's about Love Wins. So check out our newsletter. Every single one of the talks in the publications I've talked about is in detail. You can hear that book club, and I want you to listen, because when you hear, then it becomes real. So hear the musical, Plandemic the musical, and we'll just keep serving God in love. God is love, and love wins.
Okay. All right. Well said. And God bless you, Dr. Mikovits. And thank you for your courage and standing up and telling the truth. And we appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. And for those watching, thank you for tuning in. Again, the website is therealdrjudy.com. And as always, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms. And I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech platform where we can actually have these conversations without censorship. So thank you for your continued support of this platform as well. God bless you all. Take care.